In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Remember that thou art dust. It is a terrifyingly vulnerable thing to discover yourself fully seen, fully known, and despite it all, fully loved by the one who sees all the secret places of our hearts, by God. Terrifying in part because it demands response. Will we let ourselves be seen, known, loved? Will we let that seeing, that knowing, that loving shape us? Will we discover ourselves anew, alive, in the loving regard of the one who truly loves us? And perhaps the most terrifying question of all, will we let that love, trust that love, to judge us? Remember that thou art dust. That's a remembrance we generally resist. Surely we're more than that. Surely God wants to see more than that from us. Surely we're better than that. But it's a salutary remembrance, a liberating remembrance, as this is where we must start today. Remember that thou art dust. Jesus' understanding of hypocrisy in our gospel has a lot to do with a public performance of religiosity in order to personally reap the social benefits of being perceived as righteous, of being seen by other people to be good without having to make any real sacrifices for the sake of the good. And this is Isaiah's critique as well. If we look good, if we're seen to be good, then maybe we actually are. For a very long time, and perhaps for some still now, that's what the church was to many, a place to perform a kind of righteous put-togetherness that might pass the test of goodness, an opportunity to show others that we're doing okay. We're churchgoers. We're all right. We're good folks. We're not broken. We're not wounded. We don't have problems. We're respectable. We don't struggle. We're okay. We go to church. The difficulty is, that's never what church was for. Church has always been a hospital for sinners. And we are wounded, we do have problems, we do struggle, and we could help each other in our struggles if we would actually allow ourselves to be seen. If we could be honest about our wounds, if we could consent to be the dust we are. And this means allowing ourselves to be seen by God, not as we might like God to see us, not as we might curate ourselves for God, but as we are, a fallen and a sinful people, wounded and struggling people, sin-sick and broken people. So that God's vision of us, piercing to the very depths of us, can shape us into the people of grace that God has called us to be, that God has always imagined us to be. And what we are being asked to do this day, this Lent, is to allow God to see us. Not because God doesn't see us, but because if we allow God to see us, if we will consent to being seen, we will not resist the grace of God's vision of us. And make no mistake, I'm not suggesting that any of this is easy or even conventionally desirable. Those rewards of being seen in secret that Jesus talks about, Paul lists them: afflictions and hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, sleepless nights, hunger, being perpetually misunderstood, all for the sake of love, for the sake of justice, for the sake of righteousness, real self-sacrificial goodness, the expectation shared by Jesus and Isaiah being that living the faith will necessarily have public consequences. There is no private religion worth the name The fast you undertake in private is meant to pitch you out not to some grand recognition of your piety or goodness, but toward your neighbor's good, another's good. Otherwise, it is not religion at all, but a vaguely spiritualized hobby of dubious meaning. Religion without sacrifice is pernicious. So allowing ourselves to be seen by God, there are transformative consequences. The breaking of oppression's yoke will not be welcomed by everyone. We will be seen in a certain way by the world, but the only vision that matters is God's. And in that vision, we are dispossessed of the performance of righteousness, of the simulacrum of righteousness that is in fact human sin, dispossessed even of ourselves, of anything that is not God. And yet, having nothing that is not God, we possess everything that is God, because God's all possesses us, holds our dust, supplies us with an endless glory of goodness that has always been meant for us. So yes, being seen by God will turn our world upside down and lay us bare before the naked reality of love that is God and that desires to transform us into love. And of course, there's more. Because what Lent shows us, what Lent insists on showing us, what Lent brings us to understand in the journey from this day to Good Friday, is that the eyes with which we must be seen are the eyes of the one that we human beings killed on the cross on Calvary. The blood-bleared eyes of Jesus Christ, in whose sight we recognize ourselves as we are, as a people who, death-infected, sin-burdened, and wrath-poisoned, would use all the power at our disposal, all the rightness of which our dust is capable, all the contempt and impatience and rage of an empire, to kill and condemn a man whose only crime is that he loved us with all his being, and who even now refuses to condemn us. No, enduring the vision of God is not easy, but it is needful. Because in the cross we see something else too, not just the fruit of our sin, but God desiring to be seen by us, completely giving himself to us and for us, pouring out the infinite depths of his immortal life into our finite, mortal, sin-darkened, and death-infected hearts. We see that our wrath, our death-centeredness is exhausted in him and by him. We see our finite contempt, our sinfulness coming to an end as it is met with an infinite ocean of love. We see in the wounded heart of the God-man Jesus an opening onto eternal life. And we glimpse in the light of this life, in the light of this love, the blinding light of the cross, we glimpse, we see who we were made to be. The one in whose image we were made to be. And we see that this light of mercy and of grace is meant for us, is reaching out for us. And we know beyond any shadow of a doubt God's judgment on our lives. Because in the cross, make no mistake, God sees us, and yes, God judges us. God has declared judgment on the world, on us, on all of humanity. And the awful dread judgment of God is this: grace, gift, life everlasting and joy unlimited, and peace beyond all understanding, and forgiveness beyond all imagining, if we would go to the foot of the cross to be seen by our Lord Jesus, we would discover that nothing is more precious to the Almighty God of infinite majesty than our little human dust. And we need no longer fruitlessly labor to be more or better by our own power. We can be marvelously precious in God's eyes by His unmerited grace, by His power. And this, too, is what it means to be seen by God. Beloved, will you be seen by God this day, this Lent? Will you let grace open you out to the harrowing healing of God? Will you let God love your weakness and your pain? Will you let your crucified Lord see you in the dark and secret places of your heart and love you even there? Will you let the nail-pierced hands of your Lord, your truest friend, tenderly gather up the dust of your life and breathe into it His glory? Even as in Him our glorified dust is seated at the Father's right hand on heaven's high throne, will you become by grace the very righteousness of God alive in the world? Will you let God see you? If you would, then first, remember that thou art dust. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.